So what I've been doing for the past couple of weeks anyway is going to the suggested readings for the church, which is called the lectionary, and I've been using those. And the suggested reading was Jesus' story of the persistent widow and the unjust judge that Allie read for us here. And I sat down on Thursday, this is where the spoiler alert comes in, I sat down on Thursday and started to work on this a little bit, and I thought, boy, this sounds awfully familiar. And I thought to myself, I think I preached on this text. So I went on my tablet and went to all my old sermons, and I did, 13 months ago. So at first I thought, well, I better preach on something else. And then I thought, well, no, before I do that, let me look at it. So I looked at it. I thought I'd get a few ideas anyway. And lo and behold, I liked it. You know, I'm not tooting my own horn, but I thought, this isn't bad. So I'm going to do something that I don't do. I've only done, I know, less than 10 times in all the years that I've preached. I'm going to repeat myself. It was 13 months ago. However, I've added things and subtracted things from it and to it so that it's a little bit different. And I only had one person upstairs say, I remember that sermon. So you see, and I wouldn't have had to tell you because you're not going to remember it. But I don't like dishonesty. I just don't like dishonesty. And I don't like the pastor when we stand up here trying to be something and make you think he's something that he's not. So it is a repeater, but I'm going to put it in real time too. Okay? We're going to have fun? Yes? Shake your head and say, oh, absolutely. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Thank you, Joey. I appreciate that. Well, it started out in the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. And the 14th chapter is where Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if that weren't so, I'd tell you. And when he's done with all that, he makes a promise. We're singing about promises today. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father can be glorified. You can ask anything in my name, and I will do it. That's a pretty hefty promise. So then, the Gospel of Mark, the 11th chapter, he makes a promise that's kind of like it. He says, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, you can say to that mountain, be ye gone and be ye cast into the sea, and it will be done exactly as you say. If you say it and do not doubt in your heart, it will be done for you. When you pray, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. So about 4 years ago, I've told you that I journal my prayers. And I'm going to tell you when that started. I was on a sabbatical in 2015. And so on that sabbatical, the very first morning, I got up early. I had brought a journal along, and I started to journal my prayers and started a prayer journal ministry that exists to this day. And when I started that ministry, I made up my mind that I was going to claim those promises. I chose to believe it is Jesus' desire to respond to our prayers powerfully, faithfully, and affirmatively. All right? And so I began to trust this life-giving, mountain-moving power of his. And I began not to give the devil an opportunity to come into my heart with a foothold and into my mind with negativity, but I chose instead to pray with boldness and intent and believe that God will deliver. All right. Jesus said the whole reason he told this story of the persistent widow and the unrighteous judge, whole reason he told that story is so that you and I will always pray and never give up. So beginning in 2015, I faced down my mountains. And if, you know, somebody had cancer, I prayed for healing. I asked for healing. I didn't say maybe. I said, I pray that he'll be healed. If somebody was in a tight situation, in a circumstance that was difficult, I prayed for their peace, and I prayed for their well-being. I still do that. James says that the prayers of a righteous person availeth much. They're powerful and effective. Now, a funny thing happened to me on my way through that 4 years of praying. And what has happened to me is at least half of the people that I have prayed for did not get the result that I was praying for or that I believed would happen to them. I'm saying in about half of those cases, the mountain did not move. It wasn't budged. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't bless me. This is a new part. It doesn't bless me to admit that to you. And I'll tell you why. The first Wednesday of every month at 5:30 at night, we have what we call the Midweek Connection. And that's when you're invited for a free supper, and the neighborhood is invited for a free supper, and anybody in the community wants to come for a free supper and a little bit of a program. And Sean Scott is the MC for that. He's sitting back here, and he always tells the people, at your table are prayer request cards. And if you have a prayer request, you don't need to sign your name, but please tell us what your request is, because we will pray over them. We will pray over these cards. And frankly, we is me, because I have volunteered to do that. I've kind of taken it upon myself to make that our ministry. And the people that come to Midweek's Connection, they know that the pastor is praying. They know that is. And that's a scary thought, because they think that I have a hotline to God. Okay? So if they expect that that prayer card is going to be prayed over seriously, this I didn't say upstairs. Praying for somebody is a privilege. If you have an opportunity to pray for somebody, it's a privilege. Praying for somebody is a blessing. Praying for somebody is also a burden. And I carry a burden for these people that fill in the cards. And when several months go by and the same person is having the same request, and several more months go by and I'm getting the same request, I know God has not moved, or the movement of God has been slow. And that is disappointing. I mean, have you prayed for somebody to live and they've died? Or have you prayed for somebody to get out of a situation, maybe yourself, and that situation becomes sticky? You know then that when Jesus started talking about the persistent widow, it really was a matter of a faith crisis for me. And I don't know what quite sometimes to do with it. Let's look at it briefly. In a certain city, there was a judge. That Greek means somebody who presides over court cases, just like it does here, and makes decisions. In a certain city, there was a judge. We always talk about the honorable judge so-and-so. That person is an honorable person. This guy is not honorable. This guy is not honorable. He has no regard, verse 2 tells us, he has no regard for God, and he has no regard, no love for the people that he serves. Okay, in public service. And that tells me something about a man's character. It tells me something about a woman's character. If you're able to dismiss God out of your equation, and if you're losing your love for people, either you've got an ego problem, you're self-centered, or you've been on the job too long. You're one of the two. And, you know, Megan, you have to know about that after 32 years. If you don't love the people when you go in there in the morning, you need to quit your job. Yeah, that's right. Or any of your volunteers or any of your 106 staff. Okay. So it says a lot about this man's character. Now, there was in the city a widow who continually approached the bench with the plea, avenge me of my adversary. Jesus very intentionally made her a widow, because widows are the poorest of the poor in his culture. Widows have no family. Widows have no rights. Widows have no career. Widows have no income. They have essentially nothing. And they are, like their husbands in Jesus' culture, as good as dead. In other words, she has nothing to advocate for her. She faced mountains that you and I have never faced. And she served as her own counsel. She couldn't afford a lawyer. But the Bible says she went day and night, avenge me of my adversary, okay? Avenge me of my adversary. Clear my name and reputation. Give me justice. Vindicate me. You can hear desperation in her voice. Now, I read on Facebook 1 year ago, 13 months ago, the story of a young woman and her daughter. And this is the part of the story that you're probably going to remember. This is the sermon you're going to remember. She, this mother, had suspicions from the time the child was born that the child had something developmentally wrong with it. Suspicion that. but could not get the doctors to verify those suspicions. And so she went to specialists and she went to doctors, hoping that her suspicions were unfounded or easily fixed. Being a person of faith, this woman boldly came before the Lord, and she said, "Avenge me of my adversary." Okay? The Greek word adversary is anti-justice. It was a synonym used for Satan himself, anti-justice. And I wouldn't be surprised that some of you here today have faced an adversary where you thought you were looking at the devil himself. At least I have. Okay? So you can identify with this parent who's going to the doctors, who's going to her Lord, "Avenge me, Lord. Listen to me. Hear me. Heal this daughter of mine." Okay? You can probably resonate with a vulnerable widow who was discriminated against. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "The enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion prowling around looking for something or someone to devour." I wouldn't be surprised, but that there has been a time in your life where you have had an adversary and it felt like the hunger of the devil himself breathing down your neck. It's an awful situation. Though time and again the judge was non-responsive and her words fell on deaf ears, she kept going back. We don't know what her adversary was. The Bible doesn't tell us. All I know is this. She's got a case. She's got an injustice. She's got a concern for which she needs deliverance, and that judge is her key. Got it? That is her way out. Now, and she keeps getting rejected. You know, it's hard to have faith when you're rejected. It is hard to have faith when the answer is always no. There was a time when I was praying for somebody to live. They had cancer. It was a serious cancer. Her husband had just died. It's a whole other story. I've never told you the whole story. But it was very unfair. And so I made it my ministry, even after I left Martinsburg Church, to pray for this woman into health. And she did, in fact, die. And I remember, after I received news of her death, the next day when I went before the Lord, I said, "Lord, is there any point to this?" It's hard to have faith when you're being rejected. But she goes back again and again, and finally the judge relents. And he's a dishonorable judge. Because he says, if I don't do something, she's going to wear me out with her continuous coming. Well, that got me to thinking there are two lessons to be learned from this woman's prayer life. Okay? And as I told them upstairs, if I were taking notes, this next part, I would want to take a note, and I'll tell you when it comes. The first lesson that I learned from this persistent widow is she does not succumb. She does not succumb to discouragement. She kept coming back and coming back and coming back, even though the answer was no. There is no time in Jesus' story did she feel there was something wrong with her prayer life or something amiss about her asking. There's at no time in her prayer life where she feels she's not entitled to an answer or for justice, okay? Not once does she say to the judge, "I know you're busy. You got a lot of cases that are more important than mine. Maybe I'll go away for a while. You get me on your schedule." We do that. We come to God, and I've heard people say, "Well, really, what's wrong with me isn't really as important as so-and-so." Okay? No time does she act like that. More often than you and I admit it, we succumb to a spirit of discouragement, and we do, and a spirit of doubt. Now, this is where I'd be taking notes. The widow in this story does not forge out a faith because she got her plea answered. She forged out a faith because of all the time the answer was no. You got that? She didn't forge out a faith because she got the answer to what she wanted. She forged out a faith because of all the time the answer was no. Listen, let's not kid ourselves. If I'm praying and the Lord answers my prayer, or what I'm praying for is delivered and given unto that person, of course it's easy to have faith in God. Who won't have faith in God? But to have faith in God when the answer is no, or when the answer is not swift in showing up, is when we have a faith that'll move a mountain. So that's the first thing I want you to write down. All right? Don't fall asleep on me yet. The second thing that I want you, I'm looking at you, Ray, but you're right with me, so I just happen to look at Ray. The second thing we can learn from this widow is persistent prayer. This is what I had to learn. This is why I'm re-preaching this sermon. Persistent prayer puts you in constant contact with the Lord and works on your relationship with the Lord. So that, believe it or not, over time, the relationship becomes more important to you than the answer. One of the reasons that I keep going back and going back and going back in my prayer journals, and after I read this on Thursday, I thought, I got to go back. Because I don't pray, I'm looking at Larry, I don't pray for Larry. I pray for my relationship with Christ to be strengthened and my trust issues to be resolved, okay? And the longer I am with him in prayer, this is what happened with the woman. The longer I am with him in prayer, it's the answer is not nearly as important as the relationship is with Jesus. That becomes the answer to my prayer. Now, sure, when I pray to God, I'm expecting an answer. And I get it. But as I've already told you, that answer isn't always forthcoming. But I faithfully go to him. He works on my relationship and he works on my trust issues. And I have trust issues. And I told you a couple of months ago that I'm a lot more relaxed than I used to be. You should have known Joel Noggle 10 years ago. He was a different man. And one of the reasons is, since 2015, is simply because I have learned to give it over to God more than take it on my own cause. All right? Are you still with me? Uh-oh, they left. Okay, come on up, praise man. The mother in my story got a confirmation. I was just kidding, Allie. You know what Lucy told Charlie Brown? Don't you know a sarcasm when you hear it? The mother of my story finally got her confirmation. And the confirmation she got was, yes, my little girl has a birth defect. No, my little girl will never be normal. Yes, she will have it the rest of her life. So in a sense, what she's praying for, she didn't get, but she got so much more. She gave her testimony. I'm not going to give it all to you. It was a long testimony for Facebook. I'm going to give you five things. She said, at first I was mad at God, but in my core, I have faith that God knows best. Now listen, he has seen me through many dark times in his immeasurable wisdom, and he'll see me through this. He has seen me through many dark times, and he'll see me through this. I have faith that he knows I love my child fiercely, absolutely, unconditionally. I have faith that he knows I have family support, and I have a network of people at work who will keep me accountable. I have faith that he knows my child uniquely and understands that that child is a wonderful piece of the puzzle that is my family. And finally, she says, I have faith that I am loved, that she is loved, and we are loved. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, you have to go back to the well many, 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 many times. But what God is trying to glean from you and me is that we are loved. Trust. I haven't stopped praying with boldness. I don't want you to think that I've been discouraged. I pray boldly. I'll let you in all secret. And some of my Martinsburg friends hear this because they listen on a computer. There's a person up there who has had thyroid cancer for 5 years. Young man, got a young little boy. And ever since I found out about his thyroid cancer, I have prayed for him and I have prayed for his deliverance. I have prayed for his healing ever since. He's not in remission. And he's not out of the woods, but I'm still on my knees. Okay? God is faithful. Whatsoever ye ask, I will do. And I believe it, and I pray it. Number two, I have occasional doubts, but I don't let them get a foothold in me. And I'll tell you why. Because when God comes, when Jesus comes back, I want him to see persistence in Joel. As your pastor, I want you to see persistence in me. And I certainly want the adversary to see persistence in me. Because that's a force with which to be reckoned. And that develops, brothers and sisters, a faith that will not, Paul says in the book of Romans, cheat or rob us of hope. But listen, that's my story. All I'm doing is talking about myself. That's the widow's story. That's the woman's story. But you've got a story. And it's a story of persistence. And it's a story of the adversary. And it's a story of faith. And it's a story of faithfulness of the Lord. And here's what I want to say. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. Jesus, I thank you for this time together. I think it's been a great worship. I really give kudos to the band and the people who planned it. I felt your spirit here. I still feel your spirit here. Thank you for this message. It is hard, you know, to be a believer sometimes when life is not fair or going the way we want or going the way we know that your goodness intends for it to be. It is sometimes hard to be a believer when there are things against. I sat upstairs today. Some of us got out of bed and we were ready and we came in and sang these worship songs. And it's like, boy, I just had a great time. But some of us came in here today and we just found out something yesterday or last week, or we have something on our hearts that's really burdening us about our family, or we dread the coming of the fall like my daughter because it brings the winter and the scarcity of light and all of that stuff. And singing and clapping seems like a mockery in our hearts. And that's where we need you to work with us on our trust issues. And help us to have peace, that you're in control, not we. And as this mother faithfully said, you have been faithful in the past, and you will be sovereign again in the coming. So thank you for that promise, and we stand on your promises. Make us a faithful church, for I pray in your name. Amen.